Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. As usual, I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning because I have had a terrible headache since last night. And I also want you guys to keep my cousin in prayer as he is experiencing a spiritual healing, as he has fell down some steps and bumped his head and is, from my understanding, in a chemical-induced coma. But I'm getting word that he is doing much better, so please keep him in prayer so that he can make it through this despite all the other stuff that he's been through. So today I want to join you guys, or thank you guys for joining me here on a show as we're talking about coping after the death of a parent. Now, we know that losing a parent is never easy, and many believe that we're supposed to be ready, as in some cases, one parent may have been ill or up in age. There's also cases where the death may have been tragic or unexpected. And what about those who lost their parents at a very young age? And a lot of times, they didn't even get a chance to know their parents, and they're still kind of soul searching to find out what type of parent or what type of person the person was. Now, even though it is believed that when a parent dies, one is supposed to be prepared for the natural life passage, because they always say that the parents are never supposed to go before, or are supposed to be for the kids, instead of the kids going before the parents. However, even though it's a natural life passage, it's still hard to accept when it happens. And one is expected to either pick themselves up, close the wounds quickly, and move on. But for many, as we know, that's not the case. The grieving process seems to never end, and the memories can still hurt. Many of you may know, and some of you may not have known, but on February 17th, I celebrated the 10-year anniversary of the death of my mother, Jean Brooke Sixtrunk. She passed away of breast cancer at a very young age of 59. And some individuals even ask, well, how did you get the name Precious? Where did Precious come from? And I've shared on the air before that Precious was my mother's nickname. And that was the name that she used besides all the other names that people called her in the city of Compton. However, it's been, like I said, 10 years. That time went by fast, and that is where the name Precious came from when we talk about Precious Predicaments. So thank you for joining me and others as we're going to be providing tips, tools to help individuals cope with the death of a parent. If you want to call in on the show, you can call in at 516-387-1914. Now, my line is blowing up, so let me start adding my callers. Here we go. First caller. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Can you hear me? The last two numbers end in 41. So let me join any other caller. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I'm hearing some background noise, but your last two numbers is 12. How are you doing? Hello?
Hello?
Okay, thank you for joining me. You got a lot of background noise. I don't know, you may be outside. Are you standing outside?
Yes.
You what?
Yeah, I'm standing outside.
Okay, you got a lot of background noise. You might want to go inside so you don't have to hear the wind blowing. So I know who you are, and thank you for joining in on the call, because not only did you experience the death, because we're celebrating, you know, Jean's 10-year anniversary of her passing, but you also lost your father, too, at a very young age. And when we start talking about coping with the loss of a parent, a lot of times we try to, you know, relive their lives. We try to keep the memories going. Reggie, what are some of the things that you're doing to cope with the after the death of a parent?
Oh, you always hit me off balance.
I know I do.
But I mean, death is just an unfortunate thing, period.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say death is an unfortunate thing, but as we know, we always know that when we were born, we were going to die.
Yeah, I mean,
but the problem
you know,
is,
we're all headed. I was telling my aunt that too the other night. Matter of fact, we're all headed to the same destination.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just take different routes to get there a little faster than others do. But at the
correct,
the end of the day, hold on, because I can't. My phone keeps breaking in and out.
But you know,
hello.
I hear what you're saying, but in regards to that, there's still no magical secret to the healing process because a lot of times we say we're prepared. A lot of times, especially if our parents are older or sick, we start knowing that it's going to happen, but even when it do happen, we still struggle. We still hurt. We still miss them. You know, the hardest thing I have to do and every year is go to, not every year because I go to more than once a year, but I used to always tell my mother, I do not have to go to the cemetery. Reggie, you got a lot of background noise. You can either go in the garage or go somewhere because I can hear you. Okay. And no problem. And, you know, the hard part of it is going to the cemetery and have to put flowers on her grave because I do not like doing that. And it's like when I go, it's like a numbing experience. Now, I just received a text message from someone, and the text message, Reggie, I'm going to mute you because your noise is too loud. You're going to need to go in the house and take headphones off. Somebody, one of the cousins just texted me and said, is that about or is Aunt Rose back in the day? And it's funny because we're not only going to be talking about Aunt Rose because he's talking about my grandmother, which I realized that my grandmother's passing has been 20 years, and my mother was 10, and then I just lost my father. But the thing is, so I'm going to say, girl, you can talk about it, and you can say you had to blow it up. You can give me a call if you want to talk. Because I did want to dedicate this show to my mother, and you can call in at 516-387-1914. And I want to say, cousin, you had me cracking up because even though we wanted to keep her, the memories alive of those our parents that have passed, I'll never forget when I went to go visit your mom, and the first thing you kept telling me was, you know your mom was a gangster. You know your mom was a gangster. Your mom was a real gangster. So I'm waiting on you to call in. So again, if you want to call in and you want to talk about how to basically cope after the death of a parent, give me a call at 516-387-1914. Now, Reggie, what were you saying? Your background noise just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I was just trying to make because my signal over here be real bad.
Mm-hmm. So what is it that you want to share?
What was that?
I said, what is it you want to share? I'm trying to eat, and I was cooking breakfast. My head hurt. I am having a time right about now. So when you talk about things of that nature and losing a parent, and even though we say we're supposed to be getting prepared, we say that life is supposed to go on, we kind of figure out how we're going to make it. What are some of the things that you would want to tell people that's in your age, generate your age bracket? Because you're in your 30s. I'm in my 50s. When I lost my mom, I was in my 40s. I just was like early 40s. And watching my mom go through her demise was a challenge because I watched her take her last breath. And I had never seen anyone die before until that day. Now, at my 40s, I was kind of more mature than if I would have lost my mom in my 30s. So how was that like for you to lose your father in your 30s?
I'm still kind of coping with that. I mean, because it was a lot of unanswered questions and stuff as far as with me and him, but we had a good time to speak to one another. And I understand death. I should have experienced that at a young age, that at that point in time in my life, I really didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Well, when your granny died, you was younger. You was only in your, 19?
Yeah, and I was so lost.
Yes, you was. Yes, you was. I remember the day even at the funeral service. You was like a deer in the headlights. You didn't know which way to go. And I noticed that you and your cousin still have problems with that from time to time in regard to wanting your granny and things of that nature. Now, I want to give you guys some information, even though I'm going to go into what's called the stages of grief and how individuals grieve. But grieving the death of a parent in an adult life, even though, like I said, adults are often surprised at the emotions which can threaten or become overwhelming after the death of a parent. After all, when we talk about the natural orders of things that children will one day bury their parents, no matter what, we still are not, many of us are not prepared for that. So why then the pain, the sense of confusion, the feeling of being abandoned? This may well be because when we talk about buried or being buried in our subconscious, it's the belief that our parents are immortal. But the problem is we all are going to die one day, and trying to prepare for that can create feelings of vulnerability. And when a parent dies, there are often other feelings of loss.
There may be, and you know, you want to know something? You want to know something? Can I? I don't mean to cut you off.
Yes.
But with the living,
yes,
it's known that we would die.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bible also talks about there'll be a time where death is no more.
Mm-hmm.
And see, as far as with me with that, it was plenty of things that I didn't never really understand when God got me alone in prison. And that was when I was dead to the world, I was dead to society and everything. I wake up on that rack and stuff by myself. Everybody else's life is still going on. I'm sitting in there. That was mm-hmm. just like that. I might as well have been dead.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
God got me in a place alone where he could really get to me and teach me things, and it opened my eyes up to a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
and there was a lot of things I didn't understand. I used to be like, dang, man. I told myself too one time, I said, Granny, if you anywhere in this world, come, I need you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Bible, Mr. Ned, but God told me, he haven't lied to me since.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because when Gene passed away, I had a bat in my house, and we used to call the bat in the garage Gene. Cause
yeah, and that bat used to come around and stuff.
I'm listening to what you said. What'd you say? You kind of start breaking up.
Crazy things like that.
Well, that is true. Because, like I said, sometimes we hold on to the memories.
God got me in a place. Where it was just me and him.
Okay.
And he worked on me.
All right.
You know, people can't change people. I don't want to get all biblical and stuff on you. But
no, people can't change people. But the thing is, sometimes when we experience a loss, we start changing, and we go through different things. Like I said,
we know that we're all gonna die.
True.
Hold on. One more thing. I'm gonna keep cutting you off. But see, even on when you go to a cemetery and stuff, you see one date, birthday, then you see the hyphen.
Mm-hmm.
Dash in the middle, then you see the end date. And that hyphen and that dash in the middle is all about the things throughout your life, what you do.
That is true. And that's one of the things I even tell my clients as I work with some of my clients that are grieving. And even in therapy, I talk about that dash in the middle means what did you do while you was here on earth? What did they accomplish? What were the memories?
Good memories. If not a good mm-hmm. memory, shoot, it's something that you're going to learn from. You know, the people come in your life for reasons. There's reasons and seasons for everything. Either you're gonna learn what not to do again, or it's a beautiful memory.
Well, one of the things I can say, and I'm waiting for a lot of people to call in from the hood, that basically she left an imprint in her life. Because the one thing Jean used to always say was, mm-hmm. keep living. Just keep living.
Yeah,
and
keep
I never
living.
Knew what that meant when she said that. Now, like I said, let me get back to what I was talking about in regard to when a parent dies, there's often a loss of a feeling of loss.
Death is a bad topic for me. I don't even know what I call it.
Okay. Let me finish the information,
Reggie. I'm still coping with death.
Gotcha. The loss of a home, the sense of loss of our link with the past, even the loss of the expectation that someday our relationship might have changed. Also, there may be strong feelings of longing, a need for the parent to be around forever, to share our future accomplishments and offer support in our times of need. Sometimes there may be regret of things said or not said, meaning if I only would have said I've loved you, if I only would have said this, if I only would have said that. Now, the relationship which existed before the death can affect how we grieve. And that's also important because a lot of times we have mixed feelings. Now, I have another caller calling in. Let me see who this person is. Give me 1 second. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Now, what do you want to talk about in regards to basically coping after the death of a parent? What are some of the things you want the listeners to know in regards to it? How do you cope with that?
Well, I don't know. My father died from a...
A lot of people grieve differently.
Correct. We all do. What were you doing when your father died? Reggie, be quiet.
My father died, and he had cancer. And when he died, I was happy he wasn't suffering no more. But what I missed about him, even today, and it's been 18 years, May, the talks that we shared, the wisdom, the advice he gave me, and everything that he have told me over the years have panned out. And that's what I miss most about him. But I carry it with me every day. You know, I'm able to pass it on to my children. Even when I talk to my grandchildren, as I did today. But like the other caller was saying, that people deal with things different. I was, I remember he was doing radiation and chemo, and it made him so sick. And I told him, "Dad, don't suffer. You did your job, you know. You know, everything's going to be all right." And I just carry that with me, you know. That he was a blessing to me, and I just take that every day. I think about him every day. I use his wit, his wisdom, his understanding, how he viewed things. And it's all a part of me.
Correct. And, you know, and it's interesting because a lot of times we take our parents for granted. And part of taking them for granted is because we think that they're going to be here forever, and they're not. And a lot of times we don't learn how to implement what they were trying to instill in us. And then when they're gone, we see siblings fighting one another, not getting along with one another. You know, the legacy has to continue. And the thing is, and when we start talking about just even with just those relationships and those mixed feelings that we have, and like Reggie was saying, people grieve differently. We do. We go through what's called different stages. We go through the denial. Reggie's phone is breaking up and he's coming in and out. But like I said, we go through different stages. We go through the denial. We go through the anger. We go through the bargaining. We go through the acceptance. And, you know, but once we accept it, we know that they're not, that they're gone, but then we still start trying to figure out how we're going to make it through. Now,
wisdom is knowing not to put that shit in no fruit salad. You know what I'm talking about, cousin?
Let me put him on mute. Okay. I'll put him on mute. Okay. Now, when we start talking about even because each of us is unique, we have different relationships with each parent and our siblings. This can cause problems when trying to deal with the feelings that emerge before us because we look back at our childhood, we start looking back at our teenage years and adulthood. We may discover that there's our unresolved issues which we never address. And a lot of times when we're talking about the grief problem, because we never address those issues is one of the reasons why many individuals, when we start talking about, you know, how I'm going to live, I want my mama, I want my daddy, and I want to give the listeners some information in regards to what we need to do. Now, in order to let your parent go, you have to deal with any feelings that may arise. Because a lot of times we like to blame. What was you going to say?
You said something when you just started to speak after I got through talking about you know, knowing that a job was well done, that it wasn't
mm-hmm.
in vain, that
mm-hmm.
these are lessons. You know, there's no rules really on parenting. We do the best we can what we have to work with. And I think that each of our parents left us with something that we can carry on.
Correct.
You know, instead of doing the holding on and they're gone, causing you to grieve more and more and more, no, just move forward.
Yep.
Just move
and
forward.
Take what they taught you and carry that
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
You know, and
you know,
teach that, you know, from generation to generation. And
That's what the Bible says in Psalms, I think, 78. Teach this to your children and your children's children, you know.
Correct. Now, when we talk about that, and even, you know, when we're talking about sometimes we got to work on forgiveness, and not only forgiving our parents, because as we know, there's no such thing as a perfect parent, and we also have to forgive ourselves. And it's important for your well-being that if you talk about how you feel with someone you trust, it's really good to know that you want, just let them know you want them to listen. Sometimes you may not always want their feedback. You may not always want their advice. Sometimes we just need to vent, because you're not being disloyal, being distracted from your parent if you talk about the hurt that may have surfaced for you. Now, the thing is, it's best to get through that, because if you don't, you carry that pain into your other relationships and that behavior. Because one of the things I've seen,
don't nobody really know what happens when they really pass on and stuff, because ain't nobody been Jesus and stuff.
That ain't what I'm talking about, Crazy. I'm talking about helping people get through the grief, and as they're getting through the grief of their parents, they acted out in their behavior. And they'll use what happened in regards to the death of their parents as an excuse to act out in the behavior that they're engaging in. Is basically
well,
I have
a question for you.
What's your question?
If someone was knowing that they were going somewhere to the point of no return, and I don't even know how to phrase that.
Okay, well, this is my – I kind of know where you're going. If somebody is going to the point of no return and you have to deal with that, you have to live your life.
No matter where I'm at, I will adapt. What the world?
Well,
don't know where you're going.
Your father – okay, Reggie, you on live radio, so I need you to talk like you got some sense. Bottom line is, if your father was acting like that, your father lived his life the way he wanted to live his life. You have to live your life. You can't use that as an excuse to justify your behavior. So
no, it's not no excuse. You know what? He taught me many things that's beneficial that I could apply to my everyday living, words of wisdom and stuff.
Okay. I have another caller coming in. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing okay. And what would you like to say in regards to what we're talking about with this topic with coping after the death of a parent?
Well, my father just passed. His 3-year anniversary will be coming up June the 7th. July the 7th. I still have a difficult time. I still have a really difficult time. It's gotten a little bit better to cope with. I don't think it's something that you ever get over. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with that, being that your mother has been gone for 10 years. It's not something you ever get over. It just gets a little bit easier to cope with. I'm getting there. So the best thing about it is I have a huge support group. I have a loving family. I have loving friends that really do support me. And to be honest with you, in order for me to cope and get through, I have to go and just cry. I have to get it out, because I thought that I was doing okay by holding it in, and that was the wrong thing for me to do. So I realized that it's okay to cry. It's okay to still mourn. It's okay to still feel what you feel, because I was very close to my father. I'm still a daddy's girl to this day, still a daddy's girl. So it's hard. It's hard. It doesn't get easier. It just gets easier to cope with. And it doesn't go away. And I'm a true firm believer that it's not going to ever go away. They'll always be missed. Your loved ones will always be dear to your heart, and they'll always be missed. But that support group is so important because I thought I wasn't going to make it.
You know what? And it's interesting you said that because a lot of people feel that way, that they're not going to make it. And they grieve and they hurt. I was looking on Facebook the other day, and I saw one of my old classmates that wrote that her mom had passed. And she was saying, you know, I can't go to work. I can't function. And, you know, and everybody do things differently. Everybody do. And, you know, and I'm thinking that what don't kill you make you stronger. And you may feel like you're hurting. And you're right, that pain is deep. It's very deep. But the bottom line is it does get easier as time because I have my little rituals that I do. Like I said, the 4th of July was my mother's favorite holiday. So we would try to do the 4th of July at her house. You know, certain things she would do on Christmas, certain foods she would cook, we cook. You know, so we try to do that. And I know that I've seen a lot of people whose parents and relatives have died. They try to have parties and birthday parties for the person, even though that they're no longer here. But you have to do what works for you in order to cope. Because what you don't want to do is stay stuck. You don't want it to become a handicap. Now, when we start talking about, and it's one of the things you just said, Carla, too, is the relationship is very important. Because when that person was your rock or that person was your go-to person and you knew that that person loved you, it's hard sometimes to live life without that person because you knew you can always turn to that person.
Yes, it now, is. That is a true statement. That is so true because that was an everyday conversation with my father. Throughout my entire life, every decision I made, I contacted my daddy. You know, he was definitely my rock. So, yes, I missed that communication. But I still find myself, and he actually works, you know, it's amazing how God works because he works through us, and he still gives me that guidance. And I know it's coming from my Lord because he's giving me that same guidance that my father gave me because, of course, he was a God-fearing man as well. But it's just amazing how much you do miss that communication. But I also realize that no one can tell you how long that grieving process is going to be for. I thought that it could be over a little quicker, and that was not the case. That was not the case.
You prepared me for her death. You know she knew she was leaving. Like she said, I just want you to always take care of yourself and remember everything that you want to do. Always take care of yourself. And I told her, shit, man, I'm going to jump in your. She said, you better not mess up my funeral, boy.
Well, one of the things, and even when we're talking about, you know, with the grandchildren, and grandchildren, even though they are close to their grannies, like my son is on here about to drive me cuckoo, and talking about his relationship with his grandmother, because he had a very close relationship with his grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And
there is no purpose.
He didn't know what he was going to do or how to handle it. Now I'm going to mute his butt again, too. So, but the bottom line is, you have to keep living. Now, my father had just passed, and even when my father passed, I was listening to some music, and I was going to call him because I was going to do a show. And every now and then, he would call on my show, and even though we didn't have the best relationship and we weren't all that close, what he would always say is, Daddy, love you. Daddy, love you. Even when he would be on my radio show, he would say that. And called me by my nickname, which would get on my nerves. But the thing, and what's crazy was, when I got ready to call him, I had to realize he ain't here no more. And it freaked me out because I'm not one that cry. I'm not one, you know, I don't show a lot of emotions. I don't get all crying. I just don't do that. Because to me, that just never worked for me. But you do have to do whatever it is that you know works for you. Now, Carla just talking about her father. What are some of the other tips that you would like to give the listeners as it relates to how to cope after the death of a parent? What are some of the other things that you can do?
I have some of his memoirs that he kept, and I look at those and I laugh. I watch videos because we would go and sing karaoke. So I would laugh. I would find those moments that will really make me just laugh. And I'm tearing up as we talk because it's just so amazing what it does for you, because it brings so much joy to my heart that those tears are no longer tears of sorrow, but they're tears of joy, because mm-hmm. I know he's no longer suffering. I know he's no longer working himself to death. I know that he's in a better place. So it's more so tears of joy, because just remembering how much he went through with having his own business. It was so stressful for him, and I know he's not stressed out anymore. I know that, he's a lot better off at this point. So when you think about those joyful times, or you think about all the good times, eventually those mm-hmm. tears of sorrow will turn into tears of joy, and it just makes your heart so elated to realize that, you know what, you had a wonderful relationship. You had a great companion, and it was just time for that companion to move on. It's sad but true. But eventually it gets to the point where it's like, okay, I just want to laugh about it.
Yeah. And you know what? And sometimes you got to laugh to keep from crying. Because I know sometimes when I'm around
yes,
my sister,
you do.
We start bringing up stuff that my mother did. Girl, my mother had this. I will never forget one time. My sister was braiding my mother's hair. Girl, my mother got the smelling. And Boogie was braiding her hair. My mother said she put this little stank hair in my hair. And, it was just trying to figure out where the smell was coming from. Like, my sister had a bad habit of keeping hair in bags because she used to braid hair. Grandma was like, she ain't putting this little stinky hair up in my head. Girl, we had so much stuff that we could just sit back and laugh about.
And just laugh.
Crazy.
Right.
But I
want you
to listen.
And it makes you feel so much better.
It do. It really do. There's some books
really
that
does.
I found that's on online on Amazon. And some of the books that I found that was very interesting, and it was one of them is titled How to Survive the Loss of a Parent. Another book is I Wasn't Ready to Say Goodbye. Then there was a No Time to Say Goodbye, When a Parent Dies, and The Orphaned Adult. Now, as you know, caller, as we get up in our age, some people in their 40s and 50s may still have both of their parents. Some may have already experienced a loss of one, and some may have experienced a loss of both. And when my father died, I was like, dang, I don't have no parents now. I don't have parents, I don't have no grandparents. But then you start developing a support system of other people, and you try to keep those memories alive, those family events going. I noticed that my one of my cousins had text on, and my cousin, she said to myself and my auntie, want to know about a family reunion. Because sometimes mm-hmm. that's when you realize the importance of family, of getting together. Because you never know. Because life
right.
is so short, so a person can be here today and gone tomorrow. So we just have to be mindful of that and enjoy every moment that we have here on earth. And especially cherish our relationships, good, bad, or indifferent. Now, I want to give the listeners some more information about helping yourself heal when a parent dies. And it indicates your mother, your father's died, whether you had a good, a bad, or a different relationship with the parent, your feelings for them are probably quite strong. At the bottom, mm-hmm. most of us love our parents deeply. Now, when we start talking about that love, and it's okay if you didn't get along, but you got to remember that they love us with the most unconditional love that an imperfect human being can summon. I used to, with my mother, because we had a crazy relationship, and I used to always have to say to myself, she didn't know no better. Lord knows she didn't know no better. Because she didn't. My mother used to say, forgive me for what I did. Forgive me for what I'm doing, and forgive me for what I'm going to do. I was like, dang, how much sense do that make?
Right.
But she was always doing something to get on my nerves. My daughter always teased me now because I say everything will make my lupus flare up or my back hurt. Oh. Every time my mama came to my house, I had a lupus flare up. I had to I had to tune her out. Because if we wasn't getting cussed out or if it wasn't a fight, or it was just always something.
Right.
But when we start talking about, facing that difficult but necessary need to mourn the loss of our significant mm-hmm. person in our life, mourning is the open expression of your thoughts, feelings about the death, and it's an essential part of healing. So you have to mourn in order to heal. But you also have to realize that, yes, your grief is unique. No one grieves exactly the same way, which is what my son was talking about earlier.
Right.
And your particular experience will be influenced by your relationship. The circumstances surrounding the death is also important because sometimes it can be a tragic death. It can be a car accident. You got kids that are told that their parents have passed. I was with my goddaughter yesterday, and I'll never forget when her father was murdered, and my friend called me and said that he had been shot, and he got caught up, and they were trying to say it was behind a Tupac and all that, which he wasn't even involved in that. But the problem was, I think he was only like 10 years old, and all I can remember my friend saying was, what is my daughter going to do? What is my baby going to do? What is she going to do? And it was hard, but I was watching her yesterday and even watching her with her boys and how she had to mature and grow up into a woman without her father. And my goddaughter was close to her daddy. And I mean, she was definitely the epiphany of a daddy's girl, you know. But when we, like I said, everybody is unique. And as a result, you will grieve in your own way and in your own time. So one thing I want the listeners to know is don't try to compare your experiences to what other people, to other people, or adopt the assumption about just how long you your grief should last. Consider taking
that is so
one
true.
Day at a time approach
depends on the relationship that you have with the person that is deceased.
Well, that is true, too, because, like I said, we got some people that we be like, dang, I can't wait for that sucker to go.
And then a lot of times, you know, like you said, too, with an unexpected death, how can you grieve with that? It's just, all death is unfortunate.
But even, Reggie, when it's unexpected, you still go grieve. Even if it's unexpected, you may not have the answers to why things happen the way it happens. That's a God's
life. My life changed around when I was about, like, 14 years old.
Okay, you going on mute again. Okay. One of the things is expect to feel a multitude of emotions. The child bond is perhaps the most fundamental of all human ties. When your mother or father dies, that bond is torn. And in response to the loss you feel, you will have strong emotions. So, listeners, please forgive my son because he has strong emotions, and I got to keep muting him, unmuting him, because I don't know what the heck he going to say.
I can't with you. Yeah, I can't with you. Lord, my Jesus. Oh, Lord.
I gotta
Girl, you miss.
What are you gonna say? Mute.
Girl, you so, miss.
Girl, he on mute right by now. So I'm surprised they called this a black a block number. Like my mama just you to be going to keep blinking mute.
Lord, have mercy.
Wait a minute, he's still talking, don't even know he muted,
because
it keep going muted.
Don't even know he muted.
Jeanette,
I can't.
Girl. Watching it on the board. He's still talking. Let me see. He got something to say.
Lord, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
That's the most worst subject.
Did I tell you?
No.
Okay, Reggie,
Lord,
what you say? Okay.
That's a terrible subject that you have on today.
Right.
But I love
okay.
you. And you take care.
Okay, bye, Reggie. Bye. Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
That's me off that show.
Okay. So, like I
said, girl, what you going to do with your baby?
What can I do?
Oh, my
That's why he where he is and I'm where I am because I'm trying not to go
good.
Yeah. So, yeah, boy, get on my last.
Oh, Lord.
So,
but I needed that laugh. I needed that laugh. Bless his heart. I needed that laugh because, I mean, you know, like you were saying, it's different for everybody. It really is. And no two people can grieve or will grieve the same way when it comes to a parent. It just depends on the relationship that you have with that parent, and it depends on the relationship that that parent had with that child. And even though it may be indifferent, it doesn't mean that it still doesn't hurt because you only get one set of parents. So, you know what I'm saying? So regardless of how indifferent it may be, it still is a part of you that has that's gone. And you know, when I lost my father, that little girl that I've always been and have always been able to be with him, I felt at one time that little girl died with him. But I realized that I still have that silly, goofy ways. And, you know, my boyfriend really, really helps me with that because even though he is my significant other, I also have the father in him as well. And women don't realize, young girls don't realize that growing up and having that father figure in your life. And when you do lose that father figure, you look to your spouse or you look to your mate to give you that fathering advice, to give you that fathering feeling to know that you can still be that little girl from time to time, because that is so important that our men do not understand that we still need the father in our spouses.
We do. And, you know, and it's interesting because, like I said, with my son, when my mother passed, people always thought that my son was a mama's boy. He was never no mama's boy. He was a granny's boy. My mother had that boy rotten. She, oh, my gosh, she jacked him up. She really did because my mother didn't have any boys. She had three girls. And because she had three girls, she tried to raise him like her brothers were. And he looks just like my mother's brothers. He acts just like them. And I just look at them sometimes and just shake my head like, Lord, I've been cursed. And then with my mom, I'm sitting up here looking at three people texting me on Facebook because I put my mom's picture up there. Girl, no, my pastor didn't say the apple don't fall too far from the tree. Look just like your mom. I tried for so many years not to look like my mother. Girl, but when she died, it was like I've been reincarnated. Like she'd been reincarnated in my body. I have to watch my words sometimes because by the time I get finished cussing you out. Oh.
Yes, honey, because I got it from my daddy real bad. Look, it's the same way with me. I get it from my daddy.
Some of the things that I say, girl, I was sitting there at a park yesterday with a friend of mine, and I be telling him he blind, looking like Mr. Magoo. But his thing was he could hear my voice and was like, if that ain't your mama. And I just have to be mindful of that, you know, because my mother was very vain. She was very beautiful. I don't be wanting to wear makeup. I don't want to put no lipstick on. Or half time, I don't even want to comb my hair. I be trying so bad not to look
you're
like her.
But girl, you're so crazy.
Girl, no matter what I do, I'm just a split image. It gets on my nerves sometimes.
And yes, you are. You look just like your mom.
And I just be like, oh, my God. Oh, I get so sick of hearing that sometimes. But it's all good. I just learned. I had to tell one of my friends. She texted me the same thing. I said, I had to learn to just let it go. Just let it go. But I try not to treat people like my mother did because she was a cold piece of work. She really was.
Right.
But I'd be telling people, don't take me there. Just please don't take me there. So now getting back to the coping. And like I said, people are going to expect feel a multitude of emotions. And I want to give you some of these emotions because some people have just lost their parents recently within the past 12 months, and they may still be going through this. The numbness, the confusion, the fear, guilt, relief, and anger are just a few
I was angry.
That people may have. Girl,
I was angry.
Now, so you had anger. I had relief when my mom passed. And I had to relieve when my mom passed because I knew my mom had breast cancer. And I'll never forget her calling me, telling me that she was stage 4. And if she was stage 4, she can't wait till she gets to stage 5. She didn't realize it wasn't even no stage 5. So then when I told her, she was a hot mess. She was angry. I have pictures of my mother standing outside of her grave before she died. Because after I told her there was no stage 5, she wanted to go and make her funeral arrangements. So even when
I went
to Eastwood Park Cemetery the other day, I bought a double crypt across from her, and I bought a double niche down from her, so I paid for 4 funerals. And I tell anybody, and I'm saying it on the radio now, if I die before my son, they better not open up my grave and put my son in there with me, because if they do, girl, it's going to be some rocking and rolling at Inglewood Park Cemetery, because I refuse to be there with my son. I said, what they going to do, girl, they're going to have to snatch me out. Well, take my mama out, put her in a double crypt, and leave me over there by myself. They better not put me in there with him. They better not leave me alone.
Don't try to be up on the 6 feet, girl. Tagging.
Girl,
you playing a game of tag with your friend.
I'm
gonna need you not to do this, Annette.
I said if I die before my son, when they open up that vault, I'll be peeking. They better not be Reggie they putting up in there. I don't care who goes in there with me, it better not be him. Girl, that's
you
what they come here with me. Girl, he was
you
in a plane when he was 3 years. Talking about no vacancy. Can't you read? We ain't got no vacancy. You can't go in there with me. No. Leave me alone. Okay.
Baby.
So, get it back to these spaces. So you know I'm waiting on my relief again. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Okay,
yeah.
Sadness. You probably expect to feel sad when your parent died, but you may be surprised at the overwhelming depth of your feeling of loss. Remember, it's natural to feel sad. So after all, someone who loved you without conditions and cared for you as no one else could is gone. But the sadness will get better. The relief, if your parents were sick for some time before the death, you may feel relief when he or she finally dies, and this feeling may be particularly strong if you were responsible for your ill parents' care. Like I said, that was the hardest thing I ever had to do was watch my mother take her last breath. And my mother was such a writer, girl, with her last breath. My cousin was screaming and hollering, and we thinking my mom passed. Girl, my mother took her last breath. Do you know she started back breathing again 20 minutes later? I said, this woman don't even want to go nowhere. Girl, 20 minutes later. Then, when she was in her hospice bed, when she was in her bed and they picked her up from her hospice bed, girl, why is she laying on a load of 38 and $2,000? I looked at her, I'm like, but you'll be shooting the devil. Who are you going to shoot?
No.
Girl, the woman down.
No, Marcy.
Girl, she waiting. Anybody come in that room? She didn't like to go kill him before she got to go. She
was going to take him with her.
Girl, my mother used to say,
she was
going to
take somebody with her.
She wasn't playing. Girl, when I went to go visit one of my cousins, and he said, you know your mama was a gangster. And I was like, okay. He said, no, your mama was a gangster. She was really a gangster.
Oh,
she
was an OG.
Girl, she was OG. She was not playing.
But with that feeling though, Jeanette, a part of me wish I had that chance to take care of my father in his old age. I didn't get that chance. I didn't get get the chance to watch him grow old. And I hear different friends say, you don't want that. That's not what you want. You don't want to watch them wither away, because that's something that's really painful as well. And I get that. I do, but I guess because I didn't get that opportunity to envision that or get a chance to actually witness that, it kind of makes me feel like I was robbed of that, and that hurts even worse at times, because he was taken out so tragically, being that he was actually about to be murdered because they were trying to rob him, and then he got hit by a car fleeing from the guys with the gun. So it's and both of those tragedies wrapped up together, and then that's how my father's, met his demise. It just really tore me apart, because I really envisioned myself taking care of my father in his old age. I thought I was going to have to keep this man from throwing his teeth at my mama, because he was just, my mama was just like, oh, they're best friends, but they would fight. They would be like, what I'm saying? They would argue like brother and sister, and it was just so funny. But I was like, I thought I was really going to get the chance to actually laugh at them throwing tapioca pudding at each other and throwing their teeth at each other and telling each other how much they can't stand each other. So I wanted to see that. I really did. I needed that laugh, and I feel like I've been robbed of that.
It's interesting, because my mom died at 59. So she was only 59 years old when she died of breast cancer. Now, my father, on the other hand, I would have thought he would have died of a tragic death way before he died of a tragic death, because my father was 73, and he was the oldest gangster rapper I ever heard of in my life, And when I listened to some of his music now, my son used to say he gave him nightmares. And my daughter, when I would tell them my childhood story, my daughter said I was making them have nightmares before they would sleep. Because everything was always about horror, death, this. It was crazy. It was crazy. And then I had a friend of mine, when I went to go to my father's funeral, he had loaned me some money. With the collateral was the weapon that my mother used to shoot my daddy in the butt. And he was like,
oh,
you don't need that. I was like, you know what? That's a family heirloom. If I get rid of this, both of them probably roll over in their grave. But it was just crazy. It was so crazy. Now, I want to tell individuals that if you are still grieving in order coping with the death of your parents, you want to reach out to others for support. Perhaps the most compassionate thing you can do for yourself at this difficult time is to reach out for help from others. Think of this way, Grieving the loss of a parent may be the hardest work you've ever have done, and the work is less burdensome when others lend a hand. If your parents were old, you may find that others don't fully acknowledge your loss, because as a culture, we tend not to value the elderly, but we see them as having outlived their usefulness instead of a source of great wisdom, experience, and love. So when your elderly parent dies, we say, be glad she lived a long life. You know, it was her time to go. But instead, your person or your mother or father was a special person, and your relationship with them must have meant a lot to you. I'm sorry for your loss. And, you know, Chris, it's one of the things we do need to be careful with what we say, because a lot of times we don't really know what another person is going through. And also, be tolerant of your physical and emotional limits. Your feelings of loss and sadness will probably leave you fatigued. Your ability to think clearly and make decisions may be impaired, and your low energy may be naturally slow, but it may slow you down. Respect what your body and mind is telling you. Even though I thought I was going to be okay, I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off and all of this stuff, girl, my body was exhausted. My head's been hurting all day. I'm sitting at home. I'm like, okay, I got to clean up. I got to do this. I got to do that. But I'm also listening to my body. And respect what your body, your mind is telling you, because, and also nurture yourself. Get enough rest. Eat a balanced meal. Lighten your schedule as much as possible. Allow yourself to basically to grieve, but don't force yourself to think about and respond to the death every moment of your life. Yes, you must mourn. But if you are to heal, you must also live. What do you think about that in regards to teaching people how to live?
I would have to
say. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
As far as teaching people. I'm sorry. Say that again.
Teaching people.
You were breaking
how to
up.
Live. What about teaching people?
Teaching people how to live after the death of.
Mm-hmm.
You saying after the death of a loved one?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a hard thing. The best way, and I only can talk from my own experience, the best way I had in order for me to cope and how I had to live, and especially with that bond that I had when I would talk to him daily and wouldn't skip a day, I would still call and just listen to his voicemail, and that would help me for a while. Yeah, I would call and listen to his voicemail. And then eventually I got past that point, and I would just basically actually take time to actually mourn my father instead of keeping it all bottled up and keeping it all inside. Therapy really has helped me. You've helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, that support group is really, really, really big. And actually taking that time out to actually realize that it's okay to mourn. A lot of people feel like, you know, it's not something that they should do. But in order for you to continue to live, you can't just die with that parent. You have to move on. You have to keep going, because life does go on. And for the first year, I swore that my life was just over with. It was over with. So I had to realize and come to grips on my own that I have to keep moving, because your parent would not want to see you in that stage. And they don't. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't want to see you breathing that hard. So it's a point that I had to learn to cope. I had to learn that I did need a support system and not to shun people away, because I would. I had to learn that it's okay to talk about it. It was okay to talk about it. It's okay to let it out. If you have to cry, it was okay to scream, kick, cry, be upset, be mad. It was okay. And until I got to that point to realizing that it was okay, I could not begin to live again.
Gotcha. I'm going to call it, because this is like an Arizona number. Hi, this is Jeanette.
Okay.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Jeanette. This is Michael, Big Fish, and I done missed all the show, right? Ooh. I don't know why you didn't call and remind me, Jeanette.
Yeah, you done missed the whole show. We got like 5 minutes left of the show.
I know. Because you know your mother was my love, the love of my life.
And I think
about her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss her. If she was still there.
Yeah. And it's interesting because would you say you'd be doing much better?
I'd be doing much, much better if my honey was here.
Yeah. And see, and one of the things, even talking about that, and that's one of the things people wonder, how did I survive these 10 years? Part of it is keeping her memory going. Part of it is, like I said, when I do the radio show, because the word Precious was a nickname given to her, and I didn't want to name the show Precious. I wanted to be the Black Lucy show, because I'm always doing something silly and goofy. But, you know, when a woman said Precious, I just roll with it. But I keep her memory alive by doing a lot of things that I do. She wanted me to start a scholarship, but I opened up a whole other business. And that's why I do what I do. But another thing about coping after the death of a parent, and the one thing, like you were saying, Crystal, I told my mother when she was laying on that table before I made my sister make her up, I said, I am not dying with you. You know, I refuse. So I had to do what I had to do to keep it pushing. But another thing, and I want to give the listeners some tip, is embrace your spirituality. If faith is part of your life, express it in a way that seems appropriate to you. Allow yourself to be around people who understand and support your religious beliefs. Because a lot of times what people fail to realize is sometimes when our parents die, we get angry at God because of our parents' death. But realize
yes, ma'am,
is a normal part of your grief work. Find someone to talk to who won't be critical of whatever your thoughts and feelings are you need to explore. Another thing is allow yourself to search for meaning. You may find yourself asking, why did my mom or my dad die? What happens after death? This search for meaning of life and living is a normal response to the death of a parent. In fact, to heal in grief, you must explore such important questions. It is okay if you don't find a definitive answer. See, that was what my son's issue is. He can't find no answer, so he wants to drive folks crazy. And treasure your memories. Though your parent is no longer physically with you, he or she lives on the spirit through your memories. Treasure those memories.
Yeah.
Share them with family and friends. And recognize that your memories may make you laugh or cry, but in either case, they are a lasting and important part of the relationship you had with your parents. And you may also want to create lasting tribute to your parent-child relationship. Consider planting a tree, putting together a special memory box with snapshots or any other keepsakes. It's funny, Crystal, because you know in my office, the only picture, because you know I don't decorate, only picture I got is a picture of my mom on the wall. Don't decorate. That's the only picture I have. And move towards your grief and heal. To live and love wholly again, you must mourn. You will not heal unless you allow yourself to openly express your grief, because denying your grief will only make it more confusing and overwhelming. Embrace your grief and heal, and reconciling your grief will not happen quickly. Remember, grief is a process, not an event. So we have to be patient. We have to be tolerant with ourselves. And we also have to never forget that death of a parent will change your life forever. But what you make out of your life is going to be up to you. Now, I want to thank the people that joined me on the radio today for this episode. And like I said, I was waiting on a lot of my great Avenue friends to call in, but I guess they were shy and didn't want to talk, but that's okay too. Thank you, Fish, for calling in and sharing what you have to share. Next week, I'm going to be talking about understanding complicated relationships, because a lot of times we get caught up in these relationships that are complicated. We don't know how to get out of them. We don't know what to do. We don't know if there's even hope for the future in our relationship. So we're going to explore some of the things of what makes it complicated so that people can work on their issues and learn how to be happy with one another and learn how to be healthy and whole so that relationships can grow and last. Paula White said it once before, and she said, if you can't grow with me, you can't go with me. And I thought that was powerful. So join me next week at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio as we're going to be talking about understanding complicated relationships, because I always say, when you know better, you do better. And until then, remember, you got this. Anything, listeners, I mean, callers, you want to say before I end the show? I guess not. And
yes,
I want to thank you.
I just
want
to mention.
Going with you, come say.
I just would like to say to all of those who have lost a loved one recently, or whether it's been 10 or 20 years ago, keep your head up. Keep God first. Keep prayer number one, because, yes, we do tend to blame our Lord. We do. And we go through that blame. And then we end up blaming ourselves, too, sometimes. So we have to push forward. And it's okay to grieve. It's okay to cry. It's okay to miss them. And it's okay to move on, because it's needed.
That's true.
In addition to that, always remember about the good times you had when they was here.
That's true. All right.
Amen.
Well, thank you for joining me. Talk to you guys next week. Until then, remember, you've got this. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.